In the so-called 20th century, the human species became functionally godless, atheistic, and cut off from Dharma completely, cut off from moral law, cut off from the Tao, from the Da'at. And from all ethical limitations on behavior. And the goal of life became control. The ruling elites had a single-minded focus on controlling the world through technology and psychology. And an oppressive capitalistic financial system. The counter movement, the antithetical social movement that opposed that, was that of Marxism. And Marx was famous for saying that the point of life is not to be a philosopher, it's not to understand the world, but to change it. And so, in that second social movement that opposed the capitalist movement, metaphysics was completely given up. And so both sides of this conflict that continued as a Cold War for many decades were both literally hell-bent upon change, upon control, and had rejected understanding of the world. Now, science, technology, wants to understand how to control the world, but they admit, all the scientists, that they do not understand consciousness. And if you do not understand consciousness, you cannot understand the world. And therefore, you cannot control it. And any change you make is likely to cause more glitches in the way the world functions rather than to improve it. This has turned out to be the case. So now, it is important to return to the ideal of yoga, which is not to change the world, but to understand it, to understand and master consciousness. Because the world is simply an appearance in consciousness. Now, Sri Ramana was one of the latest teachers of a tradition that went back to the original Adi Sanatana Devi Devta Dharma, the teachings of which were, let me say, the ultimate truth of which, because Ramana said that the truth, not his teaching, the truth is ajata. The truth is that there is no world. There never was a creation. And so neither understanding the world nor changing it is relevant. But he said that couldn't be his teaching because in that ultimate truth there's no teacher and there's no one to be taught because there's no duality. And as long as there is the illusion of duality, what has to be taught is the nature of that illusion. How and why it arises, gets sustained, gets changed, gets destroyed, so that the truth reappears. And the world appears because out of the unified field of a single consciousness that was referred to in earlier yugas as Shiva, out of that is precipitated upon the waves of spanda, the vibrational movement of that ocean of consciousness, little bubbles of apparently separate individuals. And as soon as that ego illusion, that monadic bubble arises, it imagines a world. But that imaginary arising is only within a temporary phenomenon that occurs within a field of consciousness that is atemporal. Not eternal in the sense of perpetual, but timeless. And so the teaching, the highest teaching that could be grasped by such a bubble consciousness would be to recognize that the world at least is not real. This is the drishti srishtivada that was his actual teaching. That the world is a dream, an illusion, a mirage. That it's a rope mistaken for a snake. But the truth is, there's neither snake nor rope. It's all hallucinated by that bubble that once it pops, realizes nothing ever was. The popping of that bubble neither requires the death of the body with which it identifies, nor is it achieved by the death of that body. It must be achieved by a conscious self-popping of the bubble. This is the Dharma. This is the essence of Dharma. And the word Dharma, the dra, that core of it, means hold, sustain, be unmoving in stillness. And this is why Ramana used the mountain Arunachala as the symbol of God consciousness, the unmoving presence. And Dharma was to remain unmoving through time, never changing your focus from the infinite field, never focusing on or believing in the bubble, but remaining always true to the Absolute. And in that truth, that godliness, that goodness, that purity, the bubble would pop. And the liberated consciousness could then sustain the illusory world through time for those who were still unawakened in the dream. So the end of the world is simply the popping of the bubble. The world cannot end until the bubble is popped. But we now have a situation where the bubble, all the bubbles, are indoctrinated to want to protect their exterior shell. They don't want to pop. They reject the Dharma. They reject the commandment to love God more than you love yourself. And so they remain hardened. Hardened against love, hardened against truth, hardened against surrender, hardened against union with the infinite absolute intelligence that brings freedom from suffering. And it's this tendency, this predisposition, this sanskara, to hold not the truth, but the illusion that creates the split consciousness. Because the ego knows it is living in bad faith. And so the ego's mind is split between I know, but I refuse to believe. I know the truth is I am God, but I believe I'm this creature and I'm in it for myself. And I'm going to get all that I can. I'm going to prove myself as an individual. I'm going to get what I want. I'm going to do this or that. And the desire of the individual that motivates that bubble becomes the substitute for Dharma. No longer the will of God will move this being through time and space in the illusion of the world, but the desire of the ego itself. And this split between, yes, I know, but I'm going to anyway act in ignorance. The ignorance is willful ignorance because of the fear of losing power, losing control. The ego wants it all its own way. And because of that, the way of the Lord is lost. And in the desire to have it one's own way, the paradox is that one loses one's way. And the decisions that are made by an ignorant ego are not adequate to the situation, and it turns out that it made stupid decisions that it later comes to regret. And it's this that is the ultimate karmic comeuppance that then creates within the bubble the realization that it must pop because it cannot tolerate the anguish that it has created in its own illusory existence. And then it wants more than anything for the world never to have been. And it's that drive for the world never to have been that in the end will become general when the suffering is great enough and it is now reaching that point exponentially. We're about to reach the tipping point where everything that we say, I know it's coming, food shortages, nuclear war, all of the other disasters, I know it's coming, but I don't believe it. I'm going to act as if everything is normal and muddle through and just try to make as much money as I can, even though I know money will soon be worthless and the system will crash. I know, but I don't believe it. I'm going to stay with my greed, my attachment, my egoic rebellion against authority. I'm going to stay with my egocentric consciousness in that bubble, and I will not pop until I am forcibly destroyed. And so it is this conflict in which the determination of the ego to be the master of the universe and to make its own decisions in the world and not abide by the will of heaven that creates the very suffering that will produce at a certain moment the internal pressure within of such anguish, such self-loathing for one's own selfishness and stupidity that the bubble will explode and the consciousness will again return to the infinite. But it will not be able to retain its awareness of presence in which the individual merges with and becomes non-different from the Absolute. It's that merger That paradoxical realization that nirvana is samsara, that the I of the individual is a fractal representation of the absolute egoity of Paramashiva, that creates the bliss of liberation. And that is not gained if one takes the ego to the end and fights in order to hold on to one's bubble ground and not release one's consciousness into the egoless absolute, and to discover that the I, aham, aham of God, is the I of the self. It's that mantra of Shivoham that's the ultimate blessing, if you will allow yourself to receive the blessing. But the eye of the ego must dissolve in order for the presence of Shiva to become one's eye. And so that is the decision that will be made or not made because one refuses to make it. I know I should make that decision, but I believe I can wait. And it's the waiting that creates the sanskara of hoping for a mañana that will never arrive. Because it is only in the now that there is power to pop that bubble, that quantum wave function that holds the individual illusion and its world together. And the ego is so fragile as it is because it's split, and it is split in so many different ways, so fractured, that its margin of willpower is so small, its fragility is so great that it cannot afford to lose control because it's terrified of a hysterical meltdown from which it will not recover. And because there is no love of the absolute consciousness that is all-pervading and all-containing and all-saving, liberating, and resolving, because there is no belief, no love, and no willingness to surrender to that, the consciousness becomes ever more defended against its growing anxieties. This is the moment to let go of all of those before an explosion happens involuntarily that destroys the opportunity for achieving liberation through a voluntary surrender and an opening of the heart and the consciousness to the infinite ocean from which we have precipitated our illusory existence, and to return to that singularity as a gift of grace rather than a world destruction that has taken everything away from one. So the paradigm with which you perceive the events that are occurring in this illusory dream field will determine your destiny. Because if you have remained identified with that bubble, then that sanskara will produce another bubble in another Kali Yuga and another force field of conflict in which that bubble will find itself at odds with the world in which it has been born, rather than having the gift of being born in a kingdom of heaven, or being completely unborn and liberated from the illusion of duality. So whether one remains in the ego and its pravritti dharma, or one becomes a bhagat and wishes to enter the nivritti dharma by renouncing, but the renunciation itself is an affirmation of an ego that is doing the renouncing, so the nivritti dharma does not take you out of the matrix. It only creates a better condition in which that ego can implode rather than explode and have the ocean of consciousness enter into the self. But the tendency of duality as a mode of consciousness remains. And the third dharma of trying to hold on to both, to have one foot in the world and one foot in God consciousness, will not work as these two vibrational frequencies become ever more extremely polarized. Only the dharma that transcends all dualities and contains all the paradoxes, that is the absolute at the same time that it contains the relative, and the ocean that contains all the bubbles is not losing anything when they pop. And it is that consciousness that there is nothing to gain and nothing to lose, because one was never precipitated and never popped, because one is the ocean itself. It's that realization, that shifting of the center of one's being from the ego mind to the absolute mind of God, that is liberation. That is the decision that can and must be made if one wishes to achieve that mastery that brings the ultimate grace of Sat-Chit Ananda as one's true nature and freedom from all suffering. And the gift can only be received here and now. May you have the wisdom, the grace, and the joy of realizing the ultimate truth and be liberated from the mind of delusion that is the cause of all pain, anguish, suffering, and separation from the oneself. May you know the peace that comes of silencing the ego mind and returning the attention of the heart to the presence of the unchanging, luminous love that is the Supreme Self. And may you know the peace that comes from bathing in that love to the point that all sanskaras have been eliminated and the consciousness purified of all separate intentionality from the will of God. And the attainment of union with that supreme infinite intelligence becomes complete. And may you know the supreme peace of realizing the truth that is known only by that supreme intelligence, that nothing other than the self ever was, is, or shall be, and thou art that. Namaste.